More Idaho Matters right now. NPR science correspondent Neil Greenfield Boyce has been a reporter for almost 30 years. And in that time, she's reported on everything from the space shuttle to gene therapy to pet cloning. And she's written her first book. It's called Transient and Strange, a heartfelt collection of essays about some very personal stories. And she sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Let's take a listen.
Some time ago, and I think it was about a decade ago, you had some additions to a blog titled The Last Word on Nothing, which comes from a Victor Hugo line.
Yeah, science says the first word on everything and the last word on nothing. My friends who are science writers have this website that is called The Last Word on Nothing. And a lot of professional science writers sometimes, you know, use that blog as a way to write creatively. And I wrote a couple essays for that. And I realized I really enjoy writing essays. I really enjoy taking sort of personal things in my life and combining them with reporting and stories from the history of science that I find are really resonant with things happening today.
And those first words and last words, I mean, that is you. That's your intersection, right?
I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, but the words you give us, you share those words with us. You bring science to us through words.
It's true. And, you know, at the same time, I work every day as a NPR science reporter, but you know, I also have a personal life and I've got my kids and I go around and have my various experiences. And, you know, while I had written a lot about science as a reporter, you know, writing more personal work was a real departure and a sort of interesting exercise. I wasn't always expecting to write about some of the things I wrote about in this collection, which covers, you know, everything from meteorites to fleas, to black holes, to tornadoes. And I have to say, I think that the stories I tell my kids come out the best. They're by far the funniest, most interesting people.
Right. And these are the places that your book takes us. Your kids' initial fears of tornadoes. There's a sweatshirt from Target. Moon rocks as jewelry. Playlists about journalism that includes a particular Neil Diamond song. A trip with your kids, no less, to a museum exhibit of medical oddities. The importance of moments of silence in what we do. Could you talk, by the way, could you give a little bit of that secret away from our industry, that recording those moments of silence, and you put it so perfectly in your book?
Oh, sure. I mean, as radio reporters, when we do an interview anywhere, we always have to collect what's called ambient sound. So, you know, let's say you're interviewing someone in a rainforest or you're interviewing someone in a factory or something. You always want to get a good stretch of recording of just the ambient sound with nobody talking. We need it for our audio production purposes. Right. But as a practical matter, it means you're often standing there next to people and asking them not to talk to you. It's like, excuse me, extremely important person, could you not talk to me for a while so we can stand here in silence next to each other? And I find standing next to people in silence or sitting next to people in silence to be very interesting. It's just socially strange. It's not something we normally do. We don't normally hang out with someone and just sit. You know, maybe like a very close friend, but not usually just other people. And so I write about what that feels like and the way people react. And it's a part of our job that is one of the weirder ones, I would say.
And then comes this heartbreaking, mind-blowing final part of your book, which you call your eugenic project. Your final part about your incredibly expensive, heartbreaking attempts to have kids while your husband's kidney failures get progressively worse. This was not what I was expecting. Oh my gosh. And it's the final part of your book, but is that why you wrote this book?
Oh no. I mean, I wasn't even expecting to write a book, honestly. Yeah. I was writing some essays and then they sort of started congealing together. But no. I mean, I wrote other essays before that. But, you know, yeah, that is a personal essay. And it deals with, you know, issues related to, you know, having children in the context of having a familial genetic disease. But, you know, to me, it was just a powerful example of how events from history continue to sort of resonate you know, in science and medicine today. And, you know, many of the things that I've covered as a reporter, you know, like the Human Genome Project and, you know, going to the White House and, you know, hearing announcements and stuff, they actually, like, you know, sort of played out in my own life, which is a very strange thing as a science reporter, to be reporting on something and then, you know, have the world deliver that right to your door, so to speak.
Well, you throw that word eugenics out there and you deal with this in the book and bar the doors, because here comes a hugely, unfortunately, political conversation.
I mean, eugenics has an ugly history. It's definitely something that, you know, the history of science, it's a dark, dark chapter. And I think a lot of Americans are not aware of how it played out here in the United States. They might associate it with Germany and the Nazis, but they don't think about how it affected Americans in serious, serious, serious ways. And, you know, I think that there's a tendency to look at this stuff as history, but I think that, you know, in this, as in so many other things, history is, what's the quote? It's not even past. It's not dead. It's not even past. I can't remember. If I was a better literary person rather than a science reporter, I could quote it. But I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, but it is where we are. Let's talk for just a moment about 2024. It is a hugely political year. By covering science, do you embrace that? Do you look at this as an opportunity to set a few records straight on what is accurate and what is not? Because science is a bit of a football in the political arena.
Guess so. I mean, everything is kind of political to a certain extent. I mean, it's true that 2024 is a big year, but when I think about the year, I often am thinking about the eclipse. April 8th, there's a total solar eclipse that will be seen across much of the United States. So that looms large in my mind.
By the way, let me pause you there. Where will you be? Have you made your travel plans yet?
Well, it depends on the weather, doesn't it? We'll see how the clouds are. But yeah, I'll be somewhere where there's no clouds. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah, but I mean, does that mean south of the border?
Like further south, the chances of better weather go up. I think up in Maine, it might be a little more challenging in April.
Not necessarily following it up. Well, I guess it crosses right into Atlantic Canada, right?
I can't remember where the path goes, if it goes out into the ocean or if it goes up. But it stretches across the whole U.S. It's going to be a huge deal. I think of events like that. But maybe that shows like what a nerd I am.
Thank goodness for that nerdness. So here we are. The book is about to hit the shelves. What's your level of excitement and or nervousness?
Excited. You know, this is a new experience for me. I've been a writer and a reporter for almost 30 years, right? Which is kind of hard to imagine. And so I've done a lot of things, you know, publicly in terms of radio and podcasts and articles, but I've never written a book before. And it's a strange thing. It's a different beast.
But you're about to engage with a lot of folks in particular about family planning and the challenge that goes with that.
You know, I guess I'm writing about it from a science perspective, but pretty standard.
That was NPR science correspondent Neil Greenfield Boyce speaking with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, about her first book, Transient and Strange. It's out right now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed, because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.